Hi, I'm Gilbert. I'm one of the pastors at Victory, and I'm the president of EverNation Philippines. We're committed to plant churches, reach campuses, and bring the gospel to the nations. I hope this message inspires you to honor God and make disciples.
I'm glad to be here with you this Sunday to conclude our series and From the Upper Room, our series from the Book of Acts. What a picture. One of the books in the Bible that inspired me as a young man is the Book of Acts. Because I have seen Christianity almost like designed for my mother, for women. Because my mother was a godly woman. She taught me the Bible growing up. She's the one who taught us to pray, to tithe. Every time an offering would be passed, she would make sure we have money to put and participate in the giving. And she, pag wala, she'll give us money on the spot. Pagpadating na yung offering, lahat kami may pera, lahat kami magpa-participate. And really, I've seen that from my mother. And not only my mother though, but even my grandmother. Para kung si Timothy, si Luis at saka si ano. My grandmother would read her Bible every single day. I remember when I was in high school, I would always think of before going to school, I would see her reading her Bible. When I come back in the afternoon, she's still reading her Bible. And I say, you know what? Someday I'm going to be like her. I'm going to be reading my Bible when I grow old. Well, guess what? I was 18 years old when I started reading my Bible because I came to know Christ. And I remember my mother and my grandmother. And that's why it was a shock to me when I heard Rice Brooks preach the gospel in 1984. We're celebrating our 40th anniversary next year, 2024. And I heard the gospel of Jesus Christ from a man who is tall, wearing barong, handsome, and he was preaching the gospel. That was a change of perspective to me. Because growing up, my father is not into this. My older brother is into fraternity. I couldn't see any resemblance of Christianity to my brother and my father. But to my mom and grandmom, just amazing. And so seeing a man preaching the gospel is like, ganto pala yun? And then when I started reading the Bible, there's a book of Acts. Not a book of, book of what? Sitting down or, it's a book of action. And I came from a fraternity in my university. And when I see that, I said, wow, this Bible is packed with action. And a change of perspective. And so going through the miracles in the Bible, especially from the Book of Acts, is something we can only do 5 weeks. We can have 28, one miracle each chapter, but it will take us too much time. So at least have a gist of the Book of Acts for the last 5 weeks, and today is our fifth week. We're starting a new series next week, and so looking forward to that as well. But here in the Book of Acts, it ended it's an open-ended Bible. It's an open-ended story. It's almost like the book of Jonah. The book of Jonah ended with a question. And it's almost like telling the audience or the readers of today, you answer that question. Is God not concerned with the city? It's like, huh? End. Let's go to the next book. It's like, what? Tapos na yung book? Acts is the same way. It's like, as soon as Paul reached Rome, which is in their minds the ends of the earth, the scripture ended immediately. It's an abrupt end. And it's almost like, tapos na? To be continued? Kailan yung susunod na episode? Wala nang episode dyan, hindi yan Netflix. Yan na yun. And so, could it be that either Jonah or Acts is telling us, the readers today, what about you? Do all the acts yourselves. These apostles have done the actions. Now it's time for the church to make that action. And you are the church today in this city, in this region. May we be inspired as we hear the message today. and fulfill the great commission God has given us. Turn your Bibles with me to Acts chapter 19, as we're going to be ending. I'd love to preach from Acts 28, but that's not part of our text today. But in Acts chapter 19, and it says there in verse 8, let's all turn there if you have your old school Bible with you. If you have your smartphone, then it'd be great as well. Let's all stand as we read God's word together. And it says, starting in verse 8, Acts 19, verse 8. And he entered, this is Paul, he entered the synagogue and for 3 months spoke boldly, reasoning and persuading them about the kingdom of God. But some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, speaking evil of the way before the congregation. He withdrew from them and took the disciples with him, reasoning daily in the hall of Tyrannus. These continued for 2 years, so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of Paul, so that even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the evil spirits came out of them. Then some of the itinerant Jewish exorcists undertook to invoke the name of the Lord Jesus over those who had evil spirits, saying, "I adjure you by the Jesus whom Paul proclaims, seven sons of a Jewish high priest named Sceva were doing this." But the evil spirit answered them, "Jesus I know, and Paul I recognize, but who are you?" And the man in whom was the evil spirit leaped on them, mastered all of them, and overpowered them, so that they fled out of that house naked and wounded. And this became known to all the residents of Ephesus, both Jews and Greeks, and the fear fell upon them all, and the name of the Lord Jesus was extolled. Also many of those who have now believers came confessing, divulging their practices, and a number of those who had practiced magic arts brought their books together and burned them in the sight of all, and they counted the value of them and found it came to 50,000 pieces of silver. Let's all read verse 20. So the word of the Lord continued to increase and prevailed mightily. This is the word of the Lord. Let us pray. Father God, thank you for this time. Bless our hearts together. Inspire all of us to see your calling for the church. And we are the church. We give you all the glory and the honor. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Go ahead and take your seats. The title of our series is The Upper Room. From the Upper Room, knowing that it is just going to be the base for all the entire chapter of the book of Acts and where the church ought to be going, from the upper room. We all know the Holy Spirit was poured out in chapter 2, but there was so much verses in chapter 1. Why is chapter 1 important before waiting for the Holy Spirit to come? Well, you have to understand that the disciples were wounded emotionally and relationally. Why? Because remember, at first they were depressed because they lost the Savior. For 3 years they've been with him, but they lost him to persecution and death. He was buried and the disciples went back to their old works. And we all know the story. The Lord had called the disciples back to himself by reiterating, preparing breakfast to them and telling them that he's here, and they were eating, and even Jesus looked at Peter and says, "Do you love me?" "Yes, Lord." 3 times he called on Peter. Why? Could it be that because he betrayed Jesus 3 times? So therefore, Jesus called him and asked him the question 3 times. "Do you love me? Do you love me? Do you love me?" And the Lord would give an instruction every after the question. "Feed my lamb, tend my sheep, feed my sheep." And he made a recall of the disciples while he was talking to Peter. I could imagine everybody's being recalled by Jesus. They were okay. But not only that, they were okay. They were willing to go and preach the gospel. But Jesus says, wait for me. Stay in the upper room. So they stayed in the upper room. But I could imagine when they started itemizing the name of the disciples in Acts chapter 1. Instead of 12, there were only how many? 11. There were only 11. Remember, Jesus called 12, and there were only 11, and they remembered. One of them not only tricked Jesus, but committed suicide trying to sell Jesus for 30 pieces of silver. What a man with audacity to sell the Savior for 30 pieces of silver. And not only that, probably some of them, they missed him. He's the one who, siguro, lagi siya nanlilibre. I don't know. He has all the access to the money. He's the richest of the rest of the guys. You know, I don't know, maybe. But and yet, he committed suicide. Do you know the impact of a suicide amongst families? Even amongst friends? Who among you, I don't have to ask you and raise your hand so people won't pity you, but who among you here, you know of a friend or someone who committed suicide? Raise your eyebrow. See, I see that. It is tough. You feel like there's a vacuum in your heart because you knew the guy. I was talking with one of our pastors, Pastor Jared, during pandemic. They were conversing over the phone a night before. The next day, the person committed suicide. The next day, imagine the impact to that pastor. And not only to the pastor, to the wives, their family, because they knew the person. The family, the impact to the entire family who are in the States. They were devastated. If you were the last person that the person talked to, you could imagine I should have said this. I should have. What did I say? I should have said this. No, let me. What did I should have recorded what I said? Did I say it? I mean, I could imagine the thousands of questions. The impact in relationship. In fact, they made a study that a person who committed suicide in a family, there's a higher percentage for it to be repeated. So you could imagine the relational trauma in the upper room because they lost a friend. And guess what? Before the Holy Spirit came and before they started doing the missions, there was a relational healing in chapter 1. I could imagine them praying. I could imagine them. And then they thought of one of the two candidates who would replace him because it was vacated. And Matthias was the one who was chosen, and they filled up that space. And then I could imagine them praying and getting healed relationally because revival is about to come. You have to strengthen the relationship from within. How can we say to the people who have come for the first time and says, welcome to the family of God. Here in Victory Calamba, we believe in honoring God and making disciples. Welcome home. How can you say welcome home if there's no home spirit amongst the believers? Yeah. How can you be ready for the harvest if people are having resentments and offenses amongst themselves? But Jesus allowed, the Spirit of Jesus allowed that for them to get healed from the upper room. Are you glad you're in the second floor? Sounded like an upper room to me. Are you glad that you are seated next to that person next to you? Are you glad? Or some of you are, I don't know him. Whether you don't know him or not, or loved one, or a friend, or you've been here together for years, what an amazing church we have here in Calamba, and I'm proud to be here today and seeing everyone with the smiles on your faces. Because Jesus is concerned of our relationships as much as he's concerned to the rest of the world. Are you here with me? Yeah. And so now, chapter 2 came. Because they were kind of, in a way, healed in that incubator relationally, now they're going to be ready to face the world missionally. And so having said that, and now here's Paul, who have gone through all the trainings. You know what happened to him? He came to know Christ. Jesus showed up to him of all the people and received the Lord. One of our volunteers missed it. Better to get lost in the congregation than get lost in the streets, right? So, you know, so give it a slack, okay? But Apostle Paul entered into the cities. This is now he is part of the second journey he had. He had three journeys in the region, and this is part of the second one. And now he entered Ephesus, and as soon as he entered Ephesus, something happened to the entire city. We didn't even finish the entire chapter, but we just finished up to verse 20. There are a few more verses. But for the sake of time, let's see how Apostle Paul claimed the city for Christ and how the church claimed the city for Christ. And we're going to look at that right now. And as we look at that right now, there are three lessons I'm going to share with us today quickly, as much as we can, depending on the time. The first one is, it takes focused time in order to create a desired spiritual climate in the city or in the amongst the people. It takes focused time. Say focused time. It takes time. It takes a relational, focused, deliberate effort to meet someone and do discipleship and meeting and time together relationally compared to just having a massive gathering of people and attract them to come at one event. Though an event is important, just like our gathering every Sunday. Gathering is important before scattering can be effective. If there is no gathering, then there will be no effective scattering. So I believe that. Now, there are some gathering where it's only one-on-one or three or two-in-one, just like Priscilla and Aquila and Priscilla meeting Apollos on a three, two-in-one person, or in a one-on-one situation like Jesus and the Samaritan woman. We're going to talk about it later, the 3 p.m. Training that we're going to be having. Or in a small group, the way Jesus would meet with his disciples in spite of the crowds coming. They're about to come, and Jesus still could find time to meet with the 12. Before they would come and say, okay, guys, the crowds are coming. Now, here is discipleship style. Now, this is not part of the sermon. This is for free, no charge. Jesus went to the 12. Now, the crowds are coming, and he looked at the 12, and these are the 12. And said, guys, the crowds are coming. Where do you think we can find some food to feed them? Now, that's a, how many know it's a test of faith. And John wrote it there and says, he said it to test them. Ba, galing ng discipleship ni Jesus, di ba? Padating na yung crowd, saan katutak to? Oh, ano sa palagay nyo? Saan tayo kukuha ng pagkain? Ang tanong niya, saan? Ang sagot ng isa, si Philip, sabi ni Philip, Lord, ay kahit sweldo ng buong buwan, hindi natin mapapakain bawat isa yan. Di ba? Na-test yung faith. Ang tanong, where? Ang layo ng sagot. Di ba? And then the other person responded again and says, Jesus, sino to? Yung pinakamatindi nila. So we have Philip, and we have another guy who responded, but at least he did something about it. And the guy says, Jesus, I did some preliminary work already before you even asked the question. Oh, good for you. What did you do? Because I knew they're coming. So I kind of worked around, and thank you for asking the question. He says, so what's your answer to my question? He says, well, I found only five fish. Two loaves and five fish from this little boy. But it's not even enough for everyone. It's the same conclusion with the two. Mas magaling lang konti itong isa. Yung isa nagpapanik na. Yung isa nag-aral na kaagad. Nagawa na ng review. Yung isa ang sagot niya, math problem. Ang sagot ng isa, administrative logistic problem. And ang tanong ni Jesus, where? In other words, hindi niya tinatanong sino magpo-provide. Hindi niya tinatanong saan manggagaling. Hindi niya tinatanong kung, ang tanong niya, saan sila pakakainin. Kasi si Lord, alam niya na may provision eh. Tayo nag-always nag-iisip ng provision. What a discipleship moment. And then Jesus said, okay. Give me that. So now he's about to perform the miracle. Ang layo ng sa text natin. Kaya sabi ko, librito eh. But I'm showing you, the time of him asking that question is a discipleship moment. Very important, because the lesson I will impart to the 12 will impact the crowds. It's not a waste time. It's not a wasted time talking to you guys. Only 12. Bakit 12 lang? Dapat yung mga style ni Jesus, dapat yan mga multitudes. He could find time to the 12, with the 12. Because the training of the few is the way to impact the world. Are you here? Can we just give the Lord a hand for that? Pag in-invite nyo ako, tapos mamaya, 3 o'clock, in-invite nyo ako mamaya 3 o'clock, ang dumating, 12 lang, hindi ako offended. Because I know those 12 can change the world. Those 12 can change the world. Give me the few. Forget about the crowds. Give me the few and I'm gonna change the world. Who said that? Give me 100 men who can. Who's that guy who said it? I like that guy. Jonathan Edwards. Give me 100 men who can preach the word and I can change the world. John Wesley. I remember John Wesley. Give me 100 preachers who can preach the gospel and I'm going to change the world. So hindi pala 12, 100. Si John Wesley, 100 eh. Mas matapang ka bro, 12 lang, kaya na eh. Diba? So that's for free. Now let's go back to the text and finish on time. Is that okay? Let's finish on time or else we'll go straight to our 3 o'clock training. Ano ba to, Pastor Jared? So anyways, 2 years. Could you imagine? Now look at the verse. We're finishing and we're still number one. Okay, let's go to verse 8. And this is what it says in verse 8. He said in verse 8, he entered in synagogue and for how many months? 3 months, spoke boldly, reasoning, persuading them about the kingdom of God. When he came stubborn, continued. Now, but when some became stubborn and continued in unbelief, is speaking evil of Victory Calamba before the congregation. Alam mo ginawa ni Paul? Hindi siya balat sibuyas. You know what he did? He withdrew from them, those who are persecuting, and took the who? You see. Meron dyan, na-hate, ano lang sa online. Nagtago na, I'm hurt, I'm in pain, I'm depressed. Somebody, you know. Really, you know what he did? He took his disciples. Persecute niyo ako? Oh, sige, okay lang, at least may time ako ngayon mag-disciple. Let's go back to my 12 here. Where were we again? The bread and the loaves. Okay, let's go back. They're persecuting us, so at least I have time with you guys. For how many months again?
3 months.
See. We're talking about Ephesus. Ephesus is the center of trade. Ephesus is the New York of that region because it's a financial hub where the gold and the silver and all the are being exchanged through trading. Not only that, but it's a religious center. Parang New York na may Quiapo. Religious center where everyone's worshiping this god, this idol, and prostitution, religious prostitution, morally corrupt nation, rich nation, trading center. And how can an apostle change that city and claim that city for Christ? Well, he had focus time in order to change the climate of the city. He had focus time of 2 years, at 2 months, and what did he say? The next one in verse 9, but some of them became stubborn, and he took the disciples who were reasoning daily in tenderness, and then the next verse, let's go to verse 10. He continued for how many years?
2 years,
so that all the residents of Asia heard the word of the Lord, both Jews and Greeks. How can all the residents of Asia, the region, We're not just talking about Ephesus now. We're not talking about Calamba. We're talking about Laguna. Not even Laguna. We're talking about Luzon. How did the Word of God, all the resonance, it sounds exaggerated, but there's a point that the Scripture is trying to say. Their work was so effective that all residents heard the word. There's no radio, there's no TV, there's no internet. Today we've got smartphones. You click it, sent, and it's there, ATM. On real or on profile, are you here with me? But guess what? They didn't have smartphones then. They only had smart believers who loves Jesus, and they do only one thing that they're good at, because their former lives, they were gossipers. Now they're Christians, they gossip the gospel. Who among you are good at gossiping the gospel? Gossip the gospel. Any one of you here can gossip the gospel. Why? Because most of us used to gossip before. We try to insert it in our prayer meeting. What do you want us to pray for? Ay, yung neighbor mo. Ay, naku, ano nga ba nangyari siya ng neighbor mo? Tapos na yung prayer meeting, hindi pa nakakapag-pray. Paisa-isa kasi, katungkol sa neighbor. Mas kilala ko na yung neighbor mo. Dahil sa prayer meeting, pinag-usapan natin yung neighbors nyo. You see that? But this time, they made a study in China. Why is Christianity spreading like wildfire in China? 6,000 people are getting saved every day according to religious Christian survey. Around 6,000 people getting saved every day. Why is it? There are only a few preachers. Because believers gossip the gospel and people get saved. People get saved. And I see people getting saved in Calamba because all of us are part of that, so that all residents of Laguna could hear the word, both Ilocanos and the Tagalogs from Laguna. Amen? Amen? The number two lesson we can learn from here. Oh, by the way, before I go to the lesson, a chapter after this, verse 31, Paul was had a recall of the staff from Ephesus on his third journey on his way back to Jerusalem. So he misses the team, so he called them forth and they sat down together and he preached his last sermon, and this is how he said it. Verse 31. Let's all look at that verse 31. Let's all read this together. So be on your guard. Remember that for 3 years, I've never stopped warning each of you, night and day, with tears. We thought it's only 2 months, 3 months. We thought it's only 2 years, but actually there were 3 years, day and night, with tears. No wonder why he loved them so much. He went to the city, he missed them. Can you travel? Can you come here? I can't go there anymore. I'm on my way to Jerusalem being called to do what God has called me to do. It's out of the way. If Ephesus is out of the way, would you please come? They traveled 50 kilometers. I don't know if they ran, walked. I don't know if they didn't have any cars then. They could probably rode some caravan, on a caravan, probably on a donkey, or just walk for days to cover 50. It took me 11 hours running and walking just to finish 50 in a day for 44 days. But here we're talking about days to walk and go to that place just to see Apostle Paul. And he said this. For 3 years, I've been with you. That's why they're that close. They're that close. That's why they love him so much. In fact, some of them hugged him. And they were praying on the beach. And they prayed for him. Imagine a guy who used to persecute and kill Christians. Now he's being loved. Because he truly discipled them. Loved on them with tears. Day and night for 3 years. Focus time. The second one is, it takes fully surrendered life in Christ that can allow the power of God to be exudes out of us. Let the power of God exudes out of us because we're children of God. If you try to copycat a believer, try to do something, you know, I mean, people can copycat things today, but They did that before. We look at that right now quickly, verse 11. And God was doing extraordinary miracles by the hands of apostles. So then even handkerchiefs and aprons that had touched his skin were carried away to the sick, and their diseases left them, and the spirits came out of them. This is a principle. Say handkerchiefs. Aprons, probably because they were, I don't know, they're doing their bread. Remember, bread? Bread is normal to them. They didn't have rice. They didn't have extra rice. They only had bread, extra bread. So they were wearing aprons, and they had handkerchiefs, clean handkerchiefs. Not the soiled one, okay? Wash it first before you pray. So they had handkerchiefs and aprons, and even in the book of James, the Bible says, if anyone among you is sick, call the elders of the church so they may lay hands on you, anoint you with oil, and pray for you, because God can heal you. And what is, and not only that, remember Paul was walking in his shadow. Pass over the sick people and they get well. It's a principle. It's either a shadow, a handkerchief, an apron, or an oil. Can bring about, can help, can be used of God as a in-between, go-between, as a material thing, and then lay hands on the sick. When I go to the hospital, I remember during the pandemic, Pastor Jared, I got oil in my car, and I went to the hospital and go through the series of tests before you go to the ICU and visit this church person from church, and his wife had been crying and asking me to come and visit. So I visited that friend. He's a member of my small group. So I went to the hospital and prayed for that person, and I went through all the protocols, but I got that oil. And prayed for that person. So it's either. When I was a young believer, I read this verse, this exact verse, when I was a young believer, and I asked one of the believers in our church, a young believer called Winston. He's now a doctor, okay, Dr. Winston Reyes. So I asked him, Winston, kabats ko lang siya. Sabi ko, Winston, we found out my dad had a esophageal cancer, and he's about to go through a process, a procedure in PGH. I was a teenager, and I asked Winston, a fellow teenager, and says, sabi doon, di ba? Sabi doon, pray for handkerchief aprons. Pag-pray kaya natin itong panyo ko, okay lang ba? Bakit ba? Yung tatay ko kasi nagka-cancer eh. Pwede. Sige, pag-pray natin. So we prayed. Me and Winston, he's now Dr. Winston, one of our pastors. So we prayed for the hanky, and I knew, mas madaling ipag-pray ang hanky kaysa sa e-explain sa parents paano gamitin. Narealize ko mahirap explain. Eh, tatay ko, hindi makikinig yun. Siya naman may sakit, so you're at the mercy of people who are taking care of you. So I talked to my mother. Eh, mother ko, you remember, she would read the Bible to me growing up. So ginamit ko yung Bible. Sabi, inay, malala niyo sa Bible, yun sa Acts. Okay. Malala niyo, pinag-pray nila yung handkerchief tapos dinala sa mga may sakit. Well, guess what? I got a handkerchief. Okay lang ba? Punta kayo sa doktor, di ba? Okay lang ba? Takip niyo doon sa ano niya? Takip saan? Sa leg niya, di ba? Yun yung cancer niya. Oo nga. Eh, pwede ba itakip niyo? Papunta kayo ng doktor? Yung para hindi maalik ka buka. Ang dami ko, excuse. Para hindi maalik ka buka. Pero basically, inay, sabi naman sa Bible, di ba? Lay hands on and pray. They prayed for the handkerchief and they brought it to the sick. And my friend and I prayed for this. Hindi na siya kumibo. And they did it. And she did it. Siguro yung tatay ko nag-wanda, ano ba to? Ba't ko ba tinatakpan ito? Nasa jeepney, papunta ng doktor. Ano ba to? Guess what happened? Is this supposed to not last long? But it took 11 more years. He lasted for 11 more years. I was so glad I wrote it in the book. The book I wrote in page 13, just in case you want to look. I wrote it there and explained the childlike faith that Winston and I had. So now some of you might say, wala pa akong panyo, Pastor, may sakit po sa bahay. Pwede ba si Pastor Jared ipag-pray na lang itong face mask ko? Wag naman yung face mask mo. Nagamit na yan eh. Baka lalo magkasakit. Wag yan. Manghiram ka na lang ng pamunas dyan. Ipag-pray natin. Let's not do this every Sunday naman. Every Sunday lang, Pastor Jared, people are lining up with a handkerchief. Not naman. Yeah, ang principle nun is the Lord would use, besides your hand, He can use that as a point of prayer for the person. An apron, a handkerchief, or oil, or shadow, whatever it may be, shadow ko pa lang. tapos na yan. Kailangan ko ng hindi oil, ilaw. Magaling, ano? Inutusan mo pa yung nurse. Nurse, paki-direct yung ilaw dyan. At tatamaan ng anino ko itong mga may sakit sa ICU. You know? Huwag naman ganun. Yabang na yon, Pastor Jared. Yabang yon. Yabang. You know, totoo, yabang. And so, but what happened here was seven of the sons of a high priest tried to copy these miracles. They saw the healing, so they tried to, there was one possessed person, and the seven sons of Sceva says, in the name of Jesus whom Paul preached, I cast you out. Napataas yung kilay yung demon possessed. Eh. Sabi niya, Paul I know, Jesus I know, but who are you? They realized they didn't, you know, they didn't have relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That guy jumped on them and smashed all of them like an MMA, like Manny Pacquiao, you know, just going in there. And the Bible says they run away what? The next verse, they run away naked and wounded. Naked and wounded because the Spirit came after them, verse 16, and so that they fled out of the house naked and wounded, and that was sad. That was a sad story. All right? Now, some of you are here today, and some of you probably, you've been coming in every Sunday, but deep down, you've never received Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior. Some of you probably are saying, you probably only know the Jesus that the pastor preaches, that Pastor Jared preaches. Or some of you might say, you know, the Jesus my spouse believes in. I hope that you will not just be a second-hand person as far as faith in Christ. I hope that each and every one of us here will have a first-hand faith in Christ. And so, because these guys only had second-hand, it didn't work. So we need a life that has been surrendered to the Lord Jesus Christ in order to exercise divine power. Amen? We can pray for the sick. Anyone here can pray for the sick. Anyone, who among here you prayed for the sick before? Raise your hands. You sick for the, wave it. Sa inyo, hindi nyo pa na-try yung iba, no? Try it next time. Try it. And some of them will get healed. Some of them will get worse. But hey, at least you discovered. I prayed for someone, Pastor Jared, sa Makati Med. Pray kami, punta kami sa ward. Pinag-pray ko, samba dito yung, we're Christians, we're praying for the sick. Saan po ba pwedeng open mag-pray? Doon sa ward. Sige, punta kami sa ward. Hinahanap ko yung pinaka, alam mo yung pinaka, yung isang wife niya, yung husband nandun, dying. A person dying of emphysema. And I went in there, and before I prayed, I shared the gospel, and everybody in the, walang kwarto kasi doon, open yun eh, di ba? So they were all hearing, so the more na nakikinig sila, nilalakas ako yung boses ko, kasi hindi naman bingi yung babae, pero alam ko, in-strategize ko yung buong ward eh. And nag-eavesdrop naman sila, nakikinig. Nung nag-pray kami, nakaganon din sila, di ba? So they okay, di ba? But guess what? The next day, the guy passed away. The one I prayed for. The next day, punta ako sa wake. Sabi ko, nakapatay ito, paano ba ito? Wala nang pipila, magpapapray sa akin, you know. Matatakot na, di ba? But it didn't stop me. It could have been, the guy had been dying of emphysema, and, you know, that's it, you know. How many know all of us will pass away someday? We will live forever, but this body has an expiration date. Now, if you will be taken to heaven like Elijah, that would be great. If you will be, if you be like Enoch, whom the Lord had called to heaven, that would be great. If you'll pass away in your sleep, that's, I like that, Lord. If you take me away in my sleep, Lord, para hindi na naghihirap sa ICU. Alam mo yun? Kasi we, all of us, this body has an expiration date. The Bible says 70, 80 if you have the strength. 80 if you have the strength. Anyone here is above 80 years old? Raise your hands. Above 80 years old? Wala? Okay. Ayun. Congratulations. What a treat. Congratulations. Sino sa inyo above 70? Raise your hands. 70, above 70. Great. Amazing. Congratulations. Congratulations. I'm 57, going 58. And guess what? I walk around. I go to the gym. I do my best. I want to be a good steward of this body. But I know this body has an expiration date. I know there is. But let me tell you this. A preacher might come to my room and I see you. I might not get healed, but it's okay. But the point is, it won't stop me in praying for the sick. And if you pray for the sick, the Bible says it's a privilege. It's something that God has given the church. Why can't we use it? Remember that story, Pastor Jared, where a guy went to heaven and saw different body parts in a warehouse, and the guy went to heaven, and Peter just brought him around and saw this warehouse of body parts, and the guy told the angels, "What are these body parts for?" And the angel said, "Oh, those are body parts that Christians didn't claim." Could you imagine? That was just a story. It's not true. But you get my point? You get my point, right? Man, these hands could pray for the sick. Why am I shy in praying for the sick? Why am I shy to lay hands and encourage someone and pat the person at the back and says, "You're doing a fantastic job"? What is it that this hand can get my wallet and give someone pasalubong? Cash or brittle nut or brittle peanut butter, peanut, was it? Peanut brittle. Pasalubong, eh, di ba? Or cash. God is going to use these hands, amen, to bless others, and God is going to use you and I in Jesus' name. The last one, we're going to end with this, is the last one. It takes the filling of the Holy Spirit in some to reach a city. It takes the filling of the Holy Spirit in some to reach a city. Why in some? Because there were only 12 of them in verse 7. Only 12. Remember my 12 here? The 12 here, the infilling of the Holy Spirit in verse 7. Can we read that? Can we read that? And then Paul had laid his hands on them. The Holy Spirit came on them. And they began to speak in tongues and prophesying. Come on now. It's moving in the Holy Spirit. They were about what? 12 men. Only 12 men was Paul's raw materials to touch the entire region of Asia. It started with 12. So hindi ako impressed sa numbers. Impressed ako kung nagdi-disciple ka. Kasi yun ang solution para ma-reach natin ang buong Pilipinas. One person at a time. One-to-one lang yan. One-to-one. Manglibre ka na. Mag-budget ka na ng Starbucks per day. Times 7. Oh, Lord, have mercy on my budget. Hindi pa nag-show up. Nadagdagan, magiging 8 weeks, nag-order ka na eh. Hindi pa nag-show up. Pambihira. Lord, pa't ganun? Ito na nga, nagsasacrifice na ako. Hindi pa nag-show up. Sana man lang, Lord, pinapadala niyo, Lord. Kinukonvict niyo na mag-show up. Diba? And then you realize, ikaw din hindi nag-show up before. Aha, aha, aha. Ikaw din hindi nag-show up. What you sow, you will reap. And the Holy Spirit spoke to you then. How many times you didn't show up? 6 times, Lord. 6 times, tingnan mo nga. So amazing. It takes the feeling of the few to claim the entire city. Could you imagine the exponential power of of that miracle of discipleship? I'm talking about not just the power of miracle, but the power of discipleship. That through the few, we can reach the multitudes. God will add a miracle or two, but thanks be to God. Whether miracle will show up or not, I'm going to preach the word, because the Bible promised that he will send signs and wonders to accompany the word. Say, accompany the word. When we preach the gospel, signs and wonders will follow. Alam mo ba ang daming Kristiyano ngayon, Pastor Jared? Ang pinafollow natin, signs and wonders. Parang yung ano, hinanap ko yung CR kanina. Saan yung CR? Andun yung sign nakalagay, nakagano, naka-arrow dito. Alam mo saan ako pumunta? Dun sa tinuturo ng arrow. Hindi ako umihi dun sa harapan ng sign. A lot of Christians, they follow signs. May healing doon, doon ako. May ano doon ako. Hindi ah. Ano ang pinopoint ng signs? Kay Kristo. Sa anong pinopoint ng signs? Salvation ng buong city. Yun ang effect on the signs. And kaya, miracle means signs and wonders and power. Those are three concepts of miracles. Signs, wonders, and power or mighty works. Signs. Tinuturok saan? Lahat ng signs may direction yan. Gospel kay Jesus. Right? Wonder. Bakit siya wonder? Kasi beyond natural yung event. Beyond natural. Sabi ng doctor, 3 days na lang siya, 3 months na lang siya mabubuhay. Ano nangyari? Yung tatay ko, 11 years. How many know that's wonder? And you even clap your hands a while ago. Why? Because it is wonder God has provided for you and I, and He can do that through you too. Amen. And the other one is mighty. Basta, husband, since it's Father's Day today, signs and wonders. Alam, sanay ka na kayo dyan. Yung wife nyo nagsasign ng check, ikaw nag-wonder. Ganun kadali yun. Signs and, what? Parang yung wife ko nagregalo ng bike sa akin. Tapos, tontuwa ako. The next day, ako rin nag-sign ng check. Surprise nga daw eh. Sinurprise naman talaga ako kasama mother-in-law ko. Doon sa room, pagbukas ko ng pintuan, andun yung mountain bike, together with my mother-in-law. I was so glad. Yun nga lang, the next day, ako rin nag-sign. Hindi niya masignan. Kakailangan ng sign ko eh. But anyway, signs and wonders. It should be as normal as possible in our church in Victory, Calamba. Because each and every one of you will be used of God. Amen? As I end, and I end with this. Church is a conspiracy of love for a dying world. A spy mission into enemy-occupied territory ruled by the powers of evil. A prophet from God with the greatest news the world has ever heard. The most life-changing and most revolutionary institution that has existed on earth. That's what church is all about. And I say this, God uses miracles, signs and wonders and power in advancing His mission to the church, of the church, to preach the gospel and disciple the nations. Amen. I want you to raise your hands before God. After taking the photo, raise your hands. And we're going to pray. Father God, here are our hands, Lord. When we lay hands on the sick, they shall recover. And it won't stop us no matter what, Lord God. Use these hands as a conduit of your blessing, of healing, of serving, of encouraging. Use these hands, Lord. To those who are sick, they will get well. For those who are struggling mentally, Lord, I pray that as we pat our hands, shake their hands, Lord, that they will be encouraged, oh God. Oh Father God, move through these hands. Let others be encouraged and be blessed, because these miracles are designed to point people to Christ. May we, as we raise our hands, Lord, speak with our mouth the gospel and blurt it and gossip the gospel to our neighbors, to our friends, anywhere, anytime, and Lord God, to anyone. Bless these hands, Lord God. Thank you, Lord, for your goodness. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Can we just give the Lord a praise today?
Thank you for joining us. You can visit victory.org.ph to find a church, join a Victory group, and give online. Thank you for partnering with us, discipling the city, the nation, and the world through your generosity. For more messages like this, you can subscribe to this podcast through Spotify, Apple Podcasts, and wherever you listen to podcasts.